Hey, and welcome again. It's Billy Fairchild here with Podcast 28, show number 8. I hope you all had a good week. It's been a long week here. I'm sure it's been a long week for everybody else as well. I know I've been excited to get another podcast under the belt and getting a little bit more friendly with this Mac and starting to get a little bit of a go of it and learning to work my way around it a little bit more. So that's always a plus for sure. I haven't been doing too much as far as gaming lately. I'm still in the Call of Duty 4 online scene. I did end up finishing the game, finally. I got stuck at the very last level when you try to get the launch codes, and that was pretty that was pretty tough at first, but finally kept at it and kept at it and finally going. I suck at anytime I have to get undercover or anything like that. I'm just horrible at that. I'm pretty much Leroy Jenkins whenever it comes to something like that. So, but that also comes into play in my multiplayer online as well. A lot of people that know me, I can't handle the whole camp and wait. Sometimes I do with the sniper rifle just to relax or whatever, or if I'm trying to get a challenge or anything like that and prone. But for the most part, I'm pretty much just run and gun, and I was surprised. I looked at my stats the other day on the online spot that they have there through COD4, and it actually shows that I have a plus kill death ratio. So that was a pretty good thing for me, because my kill death ratio in Halo was pretty horrible with the whole run and gun scene there. People definitely didn't like me playing team death matches, that's for sure. But I'm a little bit better at it now with Call of Duty 4. Still having some issues when I get into the side games like Domination and things like that. But, you know, it comes with the territory. I don't much care for team games. I'm kind of like, I love running the free-for-all. Mostly you'll catch me in those, so unless I find a bunch of friends on, and then we'll do team death matches or anything like that. Not a big fan of team hardcore. I guess I'm a puss when it comes to that, but it's not my my bag on that end. Hoping to end up maybe this weekend getting some Bioshock time in. Try to get a little bit further in that game since I beat Call of Duty 4, but also I want to start working on the Call of Duty 4 veteran level, so that should be a good time, I'm sure. At least I got the game in once. Started in the veteran mode, I hear it's 20 times harder, so that'll be a welcome challenge. Still didn't get the achievements for crushing all the TVs or destroying all the TVs and finding all the other items, but you know, what can you do? Eventually, maybe I'll go through and get those, but right now it's not really much of a priority for me. I'm just kind of enjoying the game. and also, another thing that in that game that I like is just the fact of when you do play online, just sitting there. Camping is kind of fun. I mean, I will give it that. People give you a lot of crap about it, but it's kind of fun just because you can sit back and relax and pick a few off here and there. But to each his own. People get mad, but you know what? They put it in the game so you can play it however you want to play it. You paid for the game, so don't let anybody give you any crap about it. That's my theory. But enough talk about me. We'll go on into what's in this podcast here. In this show, I'm going to talk about on the Xbox side. It's going to be the upgrades at Xbox.com. You can see some upgrades on their page. It's kind of cool. This is really super neat. Red Ring of Death do-it-yourself kits are being sold now. They're saying it works, it comes with all the tools, and you can buy tons of them. So you'll definitely have to check it out, listen to the podcast, and I'll give you the details on that and where you can get them. If you don't want to have a coffin come to your house and have to go through the wait time with Microsoft, you can do it yourself if you want. And I got a couple little tidbits of game news going on the Xbox side. And then as we move into the tech side, I'll let you in on some free Digsby invites, tell you a little bit more about Digsby. It's a basically, for some of you that know, instant messaging client that takes all of them, AOL, MSN, Yahoo. It's basically something like Trillin for any of you that know that. And then the end of the DVD format war and some few online apps and websites or what have you. And that should will in turn wrap up the podcast. Going on into the Xbox news. First off, this whole Xbox.com renovation, I guess you could say, off of Major Nelson's blog, said here's his official announcement. Off his blog, it says, when we shipped the dashboard update in December, we added the ability to enter your name, location, and a bio of the dashboard. He said he's happy to announce that starting back on Valentine's Day, that you can edit your all those fields on Xbox.com now. So that's awesome. That's the thing that you know, I was welcoming to see, because for one, I hate type. Yeah, I even have the messenger pad on my Xbox controller, and it's still painstaking to enter anything into the text box. Some people out there just breeze through it, have no problems whatsoever. But it's really cool that they added that. It's a huge upgrade to the site. Their site looks a lot better. It's a little bit more friendly. So definitely go there and check it out. It's a plus for Xbox.com for sure. And if you want to edit that information, you can go to sign in to Xbox.com and then go to the manage profile and then click edit personal profile link. So that'll get you there to the features that you can edit those, the bio and the location and all that good stuff. Next, there was an announcement, which is, this is a game I'll probably download. I've actually never got into it, but I've always thought it looked neat, seeing a lot of people playing it. Magic the Gathering is actually going to be coming to the Xbox Live Arcade. It was first introduced back in 1993. It was a big craze going on, so now it's coming to the Xbox Arcade, so hopefully they'll announce the release date. I know at the GDC there's a couple people trying to interview them, and they weren't giving out any information. They're kind of being secretive about it. So we'll see if they announce something. But that should be a little cool game to download and play. And I think it's also coming to the PC and the Mac, actually. So definitely look out for that. That'd be sweet. Here's the big story that I'm really liking. Is the Red Ring of Death repair kits. They're coming from Team Executor, if you remember them. They're the ones that actually made a lot of mod chips and whatnot. And you can go to Team-Executor, Xequter.com, and check out this what they're offering here. All right, here's the actual note from them. And I'll read it to you and let you know what they're saying. It says, greetings to our... They actually been quiet for a good while now. So this was like a huge announcement in the community. So it says right here, greetings to our old friends and colleagues. It says, it's been an awful long time since we have shown any activity in the scene, and the break has been much needed after a solid 6 years of working at the top level. It's really great to see a thriving 360 community, although our wish to still have a fully working homebrew solution on retail machines in 2008. So they're still actually working on that stuff. I'm not saying I condone anything of that, you know, to each his own, whatever, have at it. We have friends in the scene who have done some really amazing things with the 360 machine in the last year. Hopefully that can be transferred into a retail unit this year. There are no sleeping dogs, so who knows what will happen. Once again, this is all coming from Team Executor. Anyway, I got my first 360 Red Ring of Death brick over Christmas. So instead of sending it back to Microsoft, I took it apart to fix it. I've come up with a very simple, very cheap, and very effective quick fix solution to the most Red Ring of Death problem machines. I have so far tested this method on 18 Xboxes, and every one is still up and running. It says, it's Chinese New Year at the moment, so as soon as we're all done, I will get it packaged up and shipped out to the usual stockist. Hopefully it can work for you. Alright, now here's what the kit includes. The kit includes the T10 and T8 screwdrivers, and also, I guess, all the instructions and all that good stuff. Also comes with materials. I'm sure they aren't going to tell you what the materials are. But there's one kit. You need one kit per 360. One kit costs $12.95. You can buy, if you buy 10 kits or more, you get them for $11.95 each. If you buy 50 kits, you get them for $9.95 each. If you buy 100 kits, you get them for $8.95 each. So, And ending on that, that's pretty interesting. I actually would be pretty interested to see what it do. Me, you know, they have the warranty thing. I'm not really too... It sucks being without your Xbox for that long. I agree. But some people have backups, so it's not really that big of a deal to them. Is it worth voiding your warranty? Some people say yes, some people say no. What happens if you do this and it actually doesn't fix your problem? Then you're, you know, you're into the thing to where your warranty is not going to be covered now, so what do you do? That's all, once again, another one of those things, to each his own. You know, do what you like, but I do think it is pretty sweet. If I had an Xbox go down, I actually probably would do this just because I think it would be pretty sweet just to be able to do it yourself and save yourself a couple weeks, couple, 3 weeks, of getting the Xbox turned around. But moving on, we'll go on to the Frontlines Fuel War. There's a news update on that. They're saying THQ just confirmed that Frontlines Fuel War is now going to support 50 players simultaneous on the same U.S. servers. Now, this is just blowing my mind here. The original cap, which blew my mind the first time, was 32 players. So this is actually going to make Frontlines the game with the highest number of players supported on an online shooter ever on Xbox Live. So THQ's going to pump that out, and hopefully there won't be any lag. That's what we all can pray for, but I'll believe it when I see it, and I'll see how it works. But I have trust in them, so we'll see. I actually haven't got to play the demo of this yet. A lot of my friends have. I'm actually planning on it, maybe, as soon as I get some extra time. I haven't had much of that lately. So, but yeah, I definitely want to check that out. They're saying that the demo is pretty cool. I know Major Nelson was playing it this past weekend. He asked a lot of people to show up on there and play it. So, definitely check out the demo if you get time. Let me know what you think of it, and then maybe that'll push me a little bit more to go try out the demo. But once again, that's pretty impressive, 50 players at the same time. So, pretty interesting. All right, well, this comes into the later on in the tech side, one of my announcements. Microsoft is saying the end of HD DVD is not going to hurt the 360. Says, basically, with HD DVD just getting ready to go kaput completely, it's done, it's over with, boom, done, okay? Microsoft's saying the 360 will be fine. They're saying they're not expecting the 360 console to suffer if Toshiba discontinues HD DVD, which they already have, was the announcement. They actually say this is coming from them in an official statement. It says, we do not believe the recent reports about HD DVD will have any material impact on the Xbox 360 platform or our position in the marketplace, the company said. We will wait until we hear from Toshiba before announcing any specific plans around the Xbox 360 HD DVD player. So basically, you knew that was coming. I don't see how they can sit there and say that when they've already dropped the price significantly in the HD DVD, and you can about get that anywhere now. So, I don't know. It's to each his own here, and we'll see how it comes. I don't really personally think it's going to affect anything, but once again, hindsight's 20/20, so we won't know until later. All right, so that wraps it up for the Xbox 360 side. We'll move on to tech news. One thing that I want to mention here is if anybody uses iGoogle, NetVibes or anything like that, if you're looking for a good NetVibes or iGoogle alternative, yourminis.com is awesome. I've been using it plenty of time lately. I think I talked about it in a past podcast, but I'm telling you what, I've got to play with it more, and I really like it. It's just amazing. So definitely check it out. It's yourminis.com, spelled out. Minis is MINIS.com. So check that out. It's really sweet. You won't be disappointed. It's a good startup page. I love it. You can set up multiple tabs, have multiple backgrounds. The gadgets are really easy to implement on there, the widgets or whatever for it. They don't have a lot of widgets. There aren't any Twitter widgets, so that's kind of a bummer to me. But I'm sure it'll come. But there's actually a Firefox plugin for your minis as well that you can download, and it'll actually let you add the RSS feed easier than usual instead of going and cutting and paste the RSS feed and whatnot. But this button will basically implement it into your minis. So definitely, if you're going to try your minis for a good time, download the extension. It helps out a lot. So check that out. Next up is Twit Texter. It's for Twitter, and it posts photos to your Twitter. Me, unfortunately, I just tried it today the wrong way, so it didn't work for me. But I found out I was doing it the wrong way today, so I ended up slipping it into the podcast. So all you guys can check it out. What it does is it gives the option to link up Facebook and Twitter with pictures, and you know, it's just another little tidbit that we really don't need, you know, but it's cool to kind of do. You can send a picture with a little bit of you know, your regular text as you would on Twitter, and it just adds to that. So I think it puts a little picture there. Like I said, I'm not sure because I didn't get it to work right. I have a Verizon phone, so I can't, you know, I don't have a PDA right now. I'm using the Voyager that I'd talked about before, and I can't, with it not being a smartphone or anything, I can't install the software. So it's built for the iPhone, so I'm not as lucky to do that. And I tried to use the MMS on it, and it didn't work. I tried to send my picture and my text to their email thing, and it just didn't work well with my phone. I think if you did it through regular email, it probably wouldn't be a problem. But through my cell phone, it didn't like it at all. But it did post the text, it just didn't post the picture. So, who knows. But next, it's official. Like I said before, HD DVD is dead. It says, Toshiba has made a statement. It is no longer developing, manufacture, or market HD DVD players and recorders. Cessation of the player recorders are targeted for March 2008. So there it is, straight from the horse's mouth. HD DVD, bye-bye, it's over with. And you know, big win for Blu-ray there. I wasn't expecting it, but it happened. So I guess whoever has the most money wins that there, and Toshiba didn't have the most money. So I mean, it goes with anything in the tech field anymore. If you have the money, you make it. If you don't, you don't. It's simple as that. Unless you have an outstanding product that totally just blows the competition away, and then sometimes that doesn't even matter. So, yeah, HD DVD is down the tube, so you can go out and buy your Blu-ray players if you'd like. I'm still sticking with regular DVD until the prices drop. I'm not in that big of a hurry, so you guys have at it. I know a lot of people are looking at Apple TV and stuff like that as other options, so that's another thing to do. But another thing is PhotoFlexer. It's actually the web-based photo editor. They have came up with an update, and it is called Pro, PhotoFlexer Pro. It's free, but it's not quite a replacement for professional applications like Photoshop or anything like that. So it is going to be free, and you can check it out. It is great for anybody that doesn't have any good photo editing programs or anything like that, and don't feel like going out and spending the hefty price tags on Photoshop, Aperture, or anything like that. So definitely check it out. It's free, so what can it hurt? Next, I talked a little bit about Digsby. Once again, it's the multi IM client for social networking. It even has MySpace integration, all kinds of neat stuff. So definitely check it out. It's www.digsby.com. And if you go there, you can download the application and then use the code from our friends at CNET, and then it'll unlock the beta. Once again, the code is CNET, C-N-E-T, and that will unlock the Digsby. Try it out. I love it compared to Trillin. Love it. So I'm actually using it on another PC. It's not supported by Mac right now, but once it does, I'm going to be kicking Adium out the door. I'm not a real big fan of Adium. I don't like how it looks. It's stripped down, so hopefully Digsby will port over to the OS X, and I'll be a happy camper. But all in all, that's show number 8. I hope you guys have another great week, and it is good to be back. You guys check me out, www.twitter.com/28. You can check out the podcast's Twitter as well, www.twitter.com/podcast, and then the number 2 and the number 8. All right, guys, don't forget the website. Shoot me an email, 28@live.com. If you have any questions, comments, want to tell me about how you like the show, hit me up. You guys take care, and I'll see you next week.